Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Focus Weekly Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. I just want to remind you, as I always do, to subscribe to make sure that you don't miss any of our episodes on a weekly basis, and also leave us a review that helps us to know what we're doing well and what we can improve on. I also list my email address down in the show notes, so if you have any content that you'd like us to cover, questions you want to ask, stories you want to tell, please do so. I would love to tailor this podcast around what you want to learn about, what questions you have, and what stories you want to tell. So again, my email address is listed down below in the show notes. I'd love to hear from you. Today, I'm going to do something a little bit different. Today, for me, is about a week before this episode is actually being released out into the world. This episode is going to air on November 6th, which is a Wednesday, and is the day after the U.S. 2024 presidential election. And I'm deliberately doing this in advance, ahead of the election, because, well, for many reasons. By Wednesday, when this episode is airing, and I don't know when you'll get around to listening to this or watching this, we may or may not know the result of this election quite yet. It may take some time to make sure that we accurately count all of the votes. So there may be some anxiety on the day that this episode is coming out. There may be some uncertainty, a lot of questions about the future of our nation and the direction that we are taking. People may be nervous. They may be excited. There's going to be the whole gamut of emotions for people across the country and in our church. People in our church span a wide variety of political ideas and perspectives. We all know that. These things are not new. But I wanted to bring us back to Scripture before the election and to give us some reminders from a week ago about what is still true today. Whatever happened yesterday, whatever happened with the votes that were cast, these things are still true today, and they've been true for thousands upon thousands of years. Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, is full of God reminding his people about the law. He continually says, look back at Scripture, embed this in your heart, bury this deep within you. So anytime anything is happening in our own personal lives, in the lives of our communities, our state, the nation, the church, we need to be going back to Scripture. So what I say today, a week before the election, is just as true the day after the election. And so I want to remind us of these things because I know I will need these reminders in a few days. So I'm going to keep this sheet of paper that has these Bible verses on it that I'm going to go through today. What this is something that was prepared by Kim Gustafson, who is a missionary that we support here at Faith Covenant Church. And he recently hosted a prayer breakfast themed around praying for the nations. And so this is just a list of scripture verses to the nations about God's heart for the nations. Our nation and America, any nation around the world, any nation past, present, or future. These have been true for thousands of years, and we can lean back on this truth no matter what happened with the election. So, I'm just going to go through these, read these verses, and then share a couple comments here and there. It's going to be pretty straightforward, just a reading of Scripture to help hopefully calm us and give us peace during whatever's happening. I don't know what I'm addressing right now, because I don't know what's going to happen in a week, but I'm just grateful that we have Scripture to rely on. And this list of verses is certainly not an exhaustive list. There are certainly many, many verses throughout Scripture that can be used to address God's heart for the nations. These are just a few. So, the first is Isaiah 40, verse 15, which says, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. That's such an interesting bit of imagery. The nations are like a drop in the bucket. You just get it's not, I don't think that it's supposed to mean that the nations are insignificant, because God does care about us. God does care about our flourishing. Scripture is clear on that. But God is so much bigger than the nations that, in comparison, the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They're like dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they are fine dust. So that doesn't mean that we are insignificant. That doesn't mean that what we're doing is insignificant. It just means that God is so much greater. And I'm so thankful that I know God and that God is my king. King imagery is very prevalent throughout these verses, and we see that starting here with Jeremiah 10, verses 6 and 7, which says this: "There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you." And I think this is such a wonderful reminder that there is none like God. God is sovereign over all. God's name is great. Nobody is like God. Who would not fear God, all-powerful? So this is just such a great reminder of God's role. God is all-powerful above the nations. His name is great in might. And one of the other things I think about when I read the language of king, as happens several times in these verses, God is king of the nations. And here in America, I don't think we fully understand what it means to have a true king. You know, we've certainly had democratically elected rulers who get to make decisions and rule over us, but we have a lot more freedom than a lot of people have had historically. And so the language of king is sometimes difficult, I think, for us as people in the 21st century to fully understand. We don't get it in the way that the original writers get it, because every decision that they made at that time was subservient to the king's wishes. That's how we are to live. I am grateful for the freedoms that we have, but ultimately, I need to put myself in service of the one true king, the God, the king of the nations. Moving on to 1 Chronicles 16, verse 31, it says this: "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns." And I love that. Even the heavens and the earth are getting in on this action of praising God. Creation itself is praising God. And they are saying, with all the nations, the Lord reigns. So we as the nations, we should all be worshiping God. Obviously not all do. Someday that will happen, though. And the nations, along with the rest of creation, will be praising God. And I am looking forward to that day. I wouldn't mind if it came before the election. So the next one I'm going to read is from Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, "Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." And this is really interesting, because it just kind of calls it like it is. The nations are in an uproar. That's true for us, certainly in America. We're in an uproar about all kinds of things. Doesn't even have to be politics. We'll find something else to be in an uproar about. We're always devising a vain thing, something that just looks inside at our own selves and puffs up our own ego. We're always doing something like that. The kings of the earth are taking their stand. All kinds of rulers have always been doing that all throughout history. It's true today. And these rulers are taking their counsel against the Lord. They're doing their own thing. They're seeking economic benefit over what is best for the poor. They're seeking themselves over seeking God. It's just true. And this is a good reminder of what the nations are up to. And America is no different than that. America is part of this uproar. We all are. It's been true of every nation, including Israel, throughout history. Moving on to Psalm 33, verse 10. "The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples." And I just love that. Like what we just talked about with the nations being in an uproar, God's going to thwart all those plans. So we may devise our own plans as Americans or as Russians or as Chinese people or as Australians or as people in the Great Britain. Whatever our plans are, God can foil those plans if they're not for our benefit. God is so much more powerful and will thwart the purposes of the peoples. We may have our own plans, but God is going to do God's thing, so there's not much we can do about that. We may be saying, oh, we want to elect this person or we want to elect that person, but God may say, nope, this is going to be the leader. We are not powerful enough to make those decisions. We may think we are, but we're not. God is in control. That theme continues with Psalm 47, verse 8. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. No matter who is elected, no matter who has been elected, God is on the throne. God is the true king. We are citizens of God's kingdom first and any other earthly nation after that. We are citizens of God first, and God is our king. Psalm 67:4 says, may the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. So the nations can be happy because God can guide them. The nations don't have to struggle to figure out what to do. We can look to God. Now, obviously, that's not how things have historically panned out ever for any nation very well. But the nations have this as an opportunity. We have the opportunity for God to guide the nations of the earth. Let's take that opportunity. Let's not look for one party or the other to be our guide. Let's have God as our guide, and that will be a much better option. Psalm 86:9 says, all the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you. They will bring glory to your name. I love that. Just this idea of all the nations coming to God. That's imagery that's repeated later in Revelation when we get descriptions of what will happen when Jesus returns. But it's this beautiful image of every nation coming to worship God. The nations that are powerful, the nations that are weak, the nations that right now we think are very much opposed to God. In the end, they will recognize God. They will bow down in worship. They will bring glory to the Lord's name. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know when that will be. Again, I hope it's sooner rather than later. But I'm looking forward to that day. And no matter what happens on election day, no matter what's going on with the result, whenever that happens, this is still true. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring you glory to your name. Psalm 96:3 says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. That's our opportunity as Christians. We get to declare who God is and how good God is. That is our role as citizens of the kingdom of God, not trying to exert power over other nations or even in our own nation. Our job is to declare God's glory in all the nations. Moving on to Proverbs now, Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. So righteousness, following God's law, is very good. It helps lift up the nations. Any nation has that opportunity. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. Any people. That could be us. That could be any nation. That has been any and every nation. Sin happens in every nation. And sin was probably called out the most in Scripture in God's chosen nation of Israel. The prophets are continually telling Israel the ways that they have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible is full of that imagery. We need to be receptive to that kind of call to repentance. We need to be able to see the sin in our own nation before we see the sin in another nation. Jesus talks about that on an individual level when he says, don't, you know, complain about the speck in your brother's eye when you have a plank of wood in your own eye. I think that's true on a corporate level too. As a community, as a church, as a nation, we got to clean up things in-house before we go telling other people what they should be doing. In Acts 10, verses 34 and 35, says this, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. That is such a great reminder that God is present in all nations, and God is calling people from all nations. We should never be looking down on one nation or another, because there are people that are made in the image of God in that nation, in that place, in that city, in that town, in that state, whatever the case may be. There are people that are children of God in every place, and God is drawing those people to himself. We should never look down on people from anywhere for any reason, because those are beloved children of God made in God's image. I know you know these things, but it's worth remembering. The last one we'll look at today comes from Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4. And like I said earlier, Revelation gives us pictures of what things will look like in the end when all things are restored. So this is an image of what we have to look forward to. So Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4 says this, and they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Once again, we just have this imagery of all nations coming and worshiping before God. Elsewhere in Revelation, it talks about how every nation, every knee, every tongue will confess God in the end. We can look forward to that day. And certainly we have a lot to work towards in the here and the now. God does care about our present circumstances and wants us to make the best choices that we can for the sake of our neighbors, for the sake of God's other beloved children around the world. But we also have something so wonderful to look forward to. So no matter what's going on with the election result next week, whether we have it at this time that this airs or we don't, maybe we'll have it by the time you watch this, if you watch it some days later. No matter what is going on, we have something really important to look forward to. And that is a day when every nation comes and bows at the feet of Jesus. I am so ready for that day. If you're wondering if you're ready, if you're not sure about that, let me know. Again, you can use that email address. I would love to talk to you more about what that might look like to follow Jesus, if that's something that you've not been doing yet. So thank you all so much for watching or for listening. Have a wonderful and blessed day.